Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was given during a business luncheon held on the university campus. Our speaker is Mr. Mike Buter, professor of accounting at BJU. The title of his message is Working for God's Pleasure. The text is from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4.
We were setting up some of the technology for a little presentation here. Brought back some memories of some old days. I used to work for the Dr. Pepper company, and we would do stock offerings, and we'd do road shows to meet with our investor base. While on the road, we would travel, sometimes make four or five speeches in one day, and we had 5 to 7 minutes to set up. Do you remember the old 35-millimeter slides? Before we had computers, we had 35-millimeter slides. I see some bobbing heads. Some of you remember those days. The challenge was to keep the slides in the carousel as you're running from city to city, investor group to investor group. Because when you dumped them on the street, New York City, you had to pick them up, turn them backwards and upside down, put them back in the carousel in the right order. And it was always fun to see what the next presentation was going to be like. Hopefully this will go just a little more smoothly here. We are looking at a book here. It's The Religious Trademan. And in this book, chapter 1, the emphasis is on work and the benefit of work. And I'm speaking to you about work here in chapter 1, what the Bible says about work. I went to that textbook that we're using, that chapter, and I just took some of the scriptures out of that text. And we're going to look at some of those scriptures and see what the Bible tells us about work here. We'll look at words from Solomon. Solomon says, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Okay, we're going to do some applying of this verse here. And as we do, we see that God prospers hardworking, focused people. First of all, as business people, if God brings financial success to you, do not apologize for it. Because God does prosper hard work. But look at this. God prospers hardworking people. Now, you think about hardworking people, think back to some of the older people you know back in those hard work ethic days. My dad was a milkman on the south side of Chicago. He got a small route when he first started out, and he built that route larger and larger. I delivered milk with him on Saturdays from 5:15 in the morning to about 5:15 at night. We delivered a lot of milk. And you know, after the milk route was done, he would say, "You know, we need to do some more soliciting. We need to get more new customers." And sure enough, I was one tired puppy by that time. I mean, I was one tired young man. And we went soliciting and got more customers. My dad worked hard, and I learned very soon, very early in my life, that hard work is a good thing. God blesses hard work. A very important principle here in His Word. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Now, I was going to impress you today. Go to the Hebrew text and get the definition of fat. Wouldn't that be helpful? I mean, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, if I could really explain that to you well, you would understand this scripture and learn much. So I did. Looked it up, and you know, in the Hebrew, you know what the word fat means? It means fat. Okay, it really does. So now I got to go to the Hebrew context. Unfortunately, I got some good Bible people nearby to talk to in my faculty office. And here's what it comes out to. Diligent people are content. So diligent, hardworking people are content. Our ultimate contentment is in Christ Jesus. But God has made work to provide contentment for us. In 1969, a very young man named Ken Collier went to work at the Wilds Christian Camp. Do you know where he's working today? The Wilds Christian Camp. He has been working diligently at the Wilds since 1969, diligently. Now, when I see the word contentment, you know what person's name flashes into my mind? One of the top names is Ken Collier. He is a contented man. He's contented in his relationship with Christ. He's also contented in the fact that he has worked consistently and faithfully for Christ. Diligent people are made content. Hardworking people are made content. Proverbs 22 says, "Seest thou a man diligent or skilled in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean, obscure, or low-level men." This verse is saying, look, a person diligent in their work will be promoted. Hey, isn't that a nice word to hear today? Have you been thinking about getting promoted lately? I hope so. I hope we got people here that are pursuing promotion. But the question comes, how do we as Christians pursue promotion? We're talking about work today. How do we pursue promotion? I'll give you another scripture here by David. David said, "Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another." Was David promoted? Was he promoted when he was 30 years old? To what position? King of what? Judah, right? He was promoted again when he was 37 to king of Israel. David had received some promotions. He says, look, promotion comes from the sovereignty of God. How do we as Christians pursue promotion? Here comes the answer. On our knees. Okay? The world has a way of pursuing promotion, don't they? And we have a tendency to get pulled into that same line of thought. And yet, serving a sovereign God, I get on my knees before my sovereign God and say, "Dear God, help me to follow thy will. And dear God, it's my desire to be promoted. Lord, help me to be promoted, or Lord, take away that desire as I surrender to your sovereign leading in my life." Isn't that a nice way? And you know, there's nothing wrong with getting on your knees for 15 minutes each night and say, "God, lead me, guide me, promote me, as your will leads in that direction." Words from Paul here. We've been looking at Solomon. Let's look at some words from Paul. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business," which means not lagging behind in diligence, "but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Let's analyze this scripture a little bit. Take a look at these components here. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another." That's one point. "Prefer one another." "Don't be slothful in business." Now, let's take those three points, put them in a glass, add water, stir it around a little bit, okay? We got all these points. We're mixing them all up. Now, let's get to the last point. It says, "Fervent in spirit." We'll add that too. Now, look at the final point. "Serving the Lord." These are all components of serving God. Being diligent in your business is a component of serving God. Serving God, folks, is our worship. Now, think with me. Let's apply the scripture. God is worshipped by our enthusiastic work. Are you going back to work today? Okay. We're leaving here in just a few minutes. We're going to go back to work. And we get a chance to worship God. How? Through my diligent, enthusiastic work. You said, well, maybe it's just people in full-time Christian service who can really worship God while they're working all day long. Your pastor can sit there and worship as he reads God's Word and prays. Hey, you can worship God from your desk or from your shipping dock. No matter what you're going back to work at today, you can worship God through your, notice the word, enthusiastic work. You know, taking that phrase, not lagging behind in diligence, not slothful in business, as we take a look at that, dig into that just a little bit more, we experience technical difficulties sometimes. Okay? But I think we're going to get there. We're moving forward here. We're not lazy in zeal and intensity. Okay? We do all work with enthusiasm and care. We're defining words now. We're defining that phrase. So I do work. I'm not lazy. I do all work with enthusiasm and care. Enthusiastic work is worship. Now, here comes another question for you to think about. Why do we worship? What causes us to worship? Think about that question. Try to come up with an answer yourself. Here's an answer. I am a sinner saved by grace. I deserve to die and go to hell. I was born a sinner. And yet Christ Jesus in His love, while I was yet a sinner, came to earth, died on the cross for my sin, paid the penalty for my sin. He has imputed His righteousness unto me. I bear the righteousness of Christ, and as God the Father sees me from heaven, He doesn't see Mike Buter and his very sinful heart. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Wow! Hey, even accounting teachers can get a little bit excited right now, okay? And it's okay to smile and say, almost amen. Think about it. God has redeemed the speaker up here and given him eternal life. I have hope. I have a reason for living. And it's all through Christ. Now, get the idea? I have incentive to worship. Now, that is your incentive as you go back to work today. What propels you to worship, to work enthusiastically this afternoon? If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are excited and you have reason to worship with all of your heart. Okay, let's look at the next verse. John 9, verse 4 says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ. Christ is saying, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Do you see some intensity here? Do you see some enthusiasm? Christ is setting the example for us. I must work while I still can work. Christ's ministry was 3.5 years. He said, I must work while it is day. We are to be Christ-like. We are to be followers of Christ. We need to have this intensity in our hearts. Christ had intense focus on the brevity of time available. Time is clicking by. It's going by quickly. Lord, help me to be intense as You were intense in doing the work that You've called me to do. Galatians 6:10. Here's Paul. Paul says, so then, while we have opportunity, can we just stop right there? He says, while we still got a chance, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. Paul says, we got a very short time. We got work to do. I saw the word household and I thought, I'm going to go off on just a little rabbit trail just for a second here, because it's a valuable rabbit trail. Paul says, while we have opportunity, we need to do good. And I thought, you know, we need to be reminded of something right here. And that's our families. My youngest child is now 22, and so I can speak with some experience. Kids grow up very quickly. And if your kids aren't 22 yet, listen especially closely. They're going to go rapidly. And it's important for you to follow this principle here. While we have opportunity, I need to be raising my kids, loving my kids, teaching my kids, disciplining my kids, coaching my kids, showing the love of Christ. Is that part of our work? Yeah, it's not this afternoon, but it's tonight, isn't it? And our families. Lord, help me to be diligent. Lord, help me to be careful in raising my family. These are all verses on work. Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. He says, look, whatever we do for the Lord must be done. Now, there's some time urgency in the scripture. Finally, I just want to share with you one other thing. I was talking to my wife, Barbara. Barbara is at home. Barbara has some physical reasons why she can't work. And she says, you know, I felt a little discouraged today. And I said, why are you discouraged? And she says, well, you know, some people have worked all their lives and they've written a book. Or they've written music, or they've done all these things who've really contributed to society. And she says, well, I've worked really hard. I don't know what I can really say I've done with all my work. And I said, Barbara, God has given you the ministry of hospitality. And she has had many people in the house to feed them, encourage them, house them. And so I found the verse of Scripture. And I put it on the computer, I put it in PowerPoint, and I printed it out. And I put it in a picture frame, and then I put it in her kitchen. And I said, here's a verse for you. I said, next time you get discouraged, look at this verse. It's sitting right now, right by the range top, okay, where she can look at it. And it's an encouraging verse about your work and my work. Here it comes, okay? It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. See, God will not forget your work. Now, we got people here, different ages, different backgrounds. But you know, the work you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, God has not forgotten that. Isn't that exciting? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love for which ye have showed towards the name of Christ and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Here's the takeaway here. God remembers your work. Hey, your boss may not remember your work. It's bonus time. Sometimes your boss doesn't remember, does he or she? But our Christ is perfect. Our God is just. Our God does remember our work. What an encouragement. Little summation here. God prospers focused, hardworking people. Diligent people are content. God promotes the diligent. Here's a takeaway. I'd like you to take this with you today as we walk out of here. God promotes. God is sovereign. Worship that sovereign God. Surrender to His will. Approach God on your knees about promotions. God is worshipped by our enthusiastic work. I hope you will walk out today with that thought on your mind. I'm going to work enthusiastically this afternoon. And as I do, I am worshiping that God who saved me by His grace. Finally, God doesn't forget. No matter how far away removed we are from our work, God still remembers our work. What a great God we serve.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Mike Buter, professor of accounting at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.